The Lord be with you. Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, today's readings are about transformation. And of course, the obvious first transformation is about salvation coming into the church. Our collect begins, O God, for as much as without thee, we are not able to please thee. And this at some level is obvious. You know, we might hear about someone who, or somewhere, making a good decision, living an upright life, and we think, oh, that's well and good. But if they have no connection to us, then that person's name and their actions are just information. In order to receive praise and love from us, in order for us to be pleased with them, there needs to be relationship. We need to know the person before their actions have a positive effect on us and before it brings forth a positive response. When relationship exists, then we are intimately connected and the actions of a person, therefore, will certainly have an impact upon the broader family and upon the broader community. I mean, the same principle is in effect when we talk about pleasing God. If you do not love God, if you have not come into his family, then you remain estranged from our Heavenly Father. We must be brought into relationship with God before we can please him. Considering that we are all here this morning worshiping together, it seems fair to say that most of us at some point have made that leap of faith. We have confessed Christ. We've been baptized into the church. We have that relationship that is the prerequisite to please God. We can act out of love for our Savior instead of being motivated necessarily out of love of self. So everything should be perfect and right. I'm sure we all have lives that perfectly reflect the peace and love and joy of life in Christ all the time. Well, maybe not. Maybe some of us struggle with this. Okay, the truth is that all of us struggle with this. At some time in our lives, every one of us, even with that beginning relationship with Jesus, will do or say things that do not please God. We will sin. I would also bet that all of us will pass through some pretty severe struggles. Depression, anxiety, lack of purpose or motivation. At some point in life, something won't be connecting for us. What's the deal here? I mean, we've come into the church, we've done the things that we were supposed to do, and yet there's an emptiness that we can't seem to shake. Why does this happen? We've been saved, so why does it not feel like it? What must we do to experience that transformed life? If you recall, we are wrapping up our series on the seven deadly sins. We're in that last cycle, that of union. And today's sin, though I'm not talking about it too much directly, is the sin of axity or dejection. And we see this described for us in the beginning of the epistle lesson. Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Let us repeat that again. In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It's important to note that St. Paul issues this to us as an imperative, a command. He says, don't be like this. Right? So if it's a command, that suggests that we could be disobedient to the command. Right? So there's an act of the will there. He is commanding us to live differently than the unsaved Gentiles, those who don't know Jesus, who don't have that relationship. And this is why axity is a sin, right? At some level, it's a choice, even though for someone really battling with this sin, it doesn't feel this way. It feels more like a prison without a way of escape. We become habituated to life being a certain way, and we can't imagine that it could be any other way. So our minds and hearts build walls that feel impenetrable. As mentioned earliest, I think all of us will deal with this to some extent or other during our lives. We must remember that salvation is not only an already done fact, but that it's also a continual process of growth that will one day be completed when our sinful natures are completely purged from us by the grace of God. We call that glorification. That's where we're headed. We are saved. We are being saved. And we will be saved. Let us not imagine that baptism completes our salvation. It doesn't. It is instead the beginning of our life with God. It is our birth into the church. Thus, the million-dollar question for us this morning is, how do we live in the life of Christ daily? I mean, this is what we all want, right? To live as men and women who have been transformed by the grace of God. To see what St. Paul might say about this, let us return back to our epistle for further instructions for living as the children of God. But before I start, I'll put forward this caveat. This is not easy. The Christian life is not easy. It takes guts and determination to be a true follower of Christ, because we are called to embrace the suffering that Christ suffered for us. We are to embrace the suffering of the world in order to bring salvation to the world. We suffer along with Christ to bring others to glory. I mean, this requires that we think differently, that we act differently than those who do not know Jesus. It requires that we change our behavior. We have to get to the point where we desire to fight against our old habits of life and thought. We have to start to tear down the prison walls that we have erected around ourselves. And as they were built up brick by brick, so they must come down brick by brick by brick. This begins with a decision of the will. We need to have the courage to make the decision to live as a joyful disciple of Christ rather than be intimidated by the work that this requires. Change will not happen automatically. We have to want a better life badly enough to make the effort to actually get there. For us baptized followers of Christ, we have already at some level made that decision. We were convinced enough, convicted enough to be baptized into Christ, and for some of us to be confirmed in our faith. This is our beginning. We have learned Jesus Christ, as the apostle says. And yet, just as St. Paul exhorts the Ephesians, he exhorts us today as well, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Note that intentional decision. We have to decide to put off how we have been and put on the life of a Christ follower. We have to put on Jesus. What does this entail? Well, it begins with an act of the will, as we have said. We have to say to ourselves, today I want to live in Christ. I want to know him, and I want to know the fullness of life that Christ brings. The next thing that the apostle mentions is that we have to be renewed in the spirits of our minds. We have to believe the correct things. We have to drive the lies from our mind. We have to replace them with the truths of Christ. This means being aware of what we expose ourselves to and minimizing the influence of the world that is hostile to our faith. In our culture, that hostility is most readily comprised of the ungodly media, with which we are constantly bombarded. So large a part of this involves limiting our exposure to social media and worldly entertainment. This isn't to say that all of social media is evil, or even that most of it is. The problem is that it changes our perception of reality, and turns us into the ultimate consumers of garbage. It changes how we perceive the real world and kills our agency as redeemed human beings. You know, doom scrolling is a real thing. I know because I've done it. Oh, just one more YouTube video or Facebook reel. It only takes a few minutes. But of course, you know, one more always leads to multiple hours that you are wasted and turns us into mush. And I hate to admit it, but I have been guilty of doing this. You know what? I never feel guilty. I never feel good after watching that mind-numbing pablum. I realize that's an hour of my life that I can't get back. Why do we just sit there and keep clicking? Because our brains get easily addicted to effortless sensory input. And therefore, it's a form of escapism. It trains us to be numb and passive, to be consumers. We might be looking for real information at first, but the form of how that information is passed to us should be approached with caution. In the early 1980s, Marshall McLuhan was famous for noting that the medium is the message. At that point, he was talking largely about television. But the same warning should be applied even more strongly with regards to social media. The medium is the message. It's not the information that's being communicated. It's that the way it's being communicated to us that creates that feedback loop that wants us to do more and more and more and just live, just become numb to the world. So first, we have to rid ourselves of that soul-sucking media. It's all around us. Then let us remind ourselves of the great doctrines of God, that God created us to be in fellowship with him, that he gave himself for us even when we rejected him, that God became one of us, lived and died for us, rose for us, and now reigns for and through us. These creedal truths must be the basis of our lives. We must hear them over and over every day. We want them to be a part of us and to shape how we understand the world and all that is in it. Read the creeds. Read and study your Bible. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind by filling it with what is of God, what is true, good, and beautiful. Don't seek after the deceitful lies, the fleeting addictions of the world. Seek after the knowledge of God, which is all righteousness and holiness. So having decided to live the life of Christ, and then taking care with what we feed our minds, intentionally selecting the precepts of our faith, and that which is transcendent, then we get to the final step. Go out and do what we are called to do. What are these things? Well, St. Paul lists a few of them for us. Our goal isn't just to say we want to do better. Our goal isn't just to think the right thoughts. Our goal is to live beautiful lives. Lives that reflect the love and beauty and goodness of God. Lives that bring us joy, peace, and satisfaction. Lives in which we interact with the real world and with real people, where we give because we know how much we have received from the hand of God. Lives that are directed by the Spirit of God in us, and therefore lives which please God. Without God, it's impossible to please him, but with God, we have every possibility. Let us look at just a few of the things that the apostle commands us to do. Stop lying and speak the truth. It's amazing how difficult that can be and how we just get used to lying sometimes and don't even realize that we're doing it. Be concerned with the truth. He says, be angry and sin not. In other words, there are injustices in the world that you can address, but not in a wrathful way. We must wisely pick our battles as the Holy Spirit leads us. Do not steal, but instead work diligently to provide for yourselves and your families and to give to those in need. Do not be obnoxious in your speech, but speak to each other in encouraging ways. Be kind. Forgive as we have been forgiven. Let your lives be marked by grace and by the love of God. As mentioned previously, we are dealing today with the sin of accedia, and that's also known as dejection. We're often tempted to think that we have no agency in this world, that we have no agency in our own lives. We are tempted to act like that paralyzed man in our gospel lesson. Get up and walk? Well, we can't do that. We're paralyzed. Get out and work with diligence and faithfulness? Why? It won't accomplish anything. Sacrifice for the kingdom of God? I can't do anything. These are the beliefs that rule our lives instead of living in the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let us be reminded first that our sins actually are forgiven us. We who were once far off have been brought into the very presence of God through the forgiveness won for us in the saving work of Christ. The relationship with God, which is required for us to please God, is ours, praise the Lord. We have new life already. And we have the possibility of a life full of joy and meaning, even right now, if we will choose it. You know, as we age and approach the end of our lives, we don't look back, we don't want to look back upon our lives and think to ourselves, well, that's a lifetime of nonsense that I can't get back, that I've wasted in perpetual paralysis. Christ calls to his redeemed people, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thine house. We, the followers of Christ, are a people of action. We are agents of real change. We are agents of the kingdom of God. We are agents of transformation in this world. So let us first believe it, for all things are possible with God. We do not have to be numb and powerless, but let us instead be reminded of the objective truth of the gospel of Christ every day. And then let us heed Christ's call. Let's do. Let's not be people that sit around and just think about doing things. Arise, take up thy bed, and go. Go to thine house. Go into the world. Go and make disciples of all nations. And last time I checked, all nations includes the five cities area. Life in Christ is great. It really is. Let's not live with the vanity of our darkened minds. Let us be close to God, not alienated from the life that we have in him. We live for something eternal. And even during frustrating times, painful times, or times of suffering, even during those year-long seasons of our lives where things are not working out as we had hoped, we know in our perseverance with Jesus that God is pleased with us. If this is not your case, then heed St. Paul today. Heed Christ today. Be paralyzed no more. Let the people of God, you and I, arise. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.